Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd's Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
Look, you know what? Look, who are you?
I'm the guy that mutes the mic.
You mute the mic?
Magnificent Mike.
Wait, you don't need to mute my mic. Why are you muting my mic? No, I'm just here. I'm here to say my claim. Don't call me a hick. I'm here to say my claim, okay? So, we went to get a beer. We just wanted some hydration. Everybody here at Ferg's Bar, they understand what hydration is. We're in the middle of a wrestling match.
I doubt it. That's a big word. I'm surprised you even know what it means.
I went to school.
Beer also dehydrates you there, buddy.
Not in the swamp it does it. Not us rednecks. That's our water.
Okay, so what do you want, Boone?
Look, all of us Boons agree, because there's like four or five of us in here. We all agree that we didn't get eliminated. Yogeta King wants a shot at that title.
I felt that way over here. You like spit on me too.
You need a towel?
Yeah. Can you just like say it and not spray it? Listen. If you want, wipe your upper lip. You got a bit of spit. Thank you.
If you want, he's from England. He's a gentleman.
Night, okay, sir. If you want a championship match tomorrow night, I'll be stood in the middle of that ring during the main event, and I'll be waiting for you. And I don't care if I have this Boone that I'm looking at right now. I don't care if I have Redneck Boone. I don't care if I have Posh Boone. I don't care if I have Baby Boone or Scary Boone or Sporty Boone or whichever Spice Girl Boone
Daniel?
You want to be. To who?
Daniel Boone.
Daniel Boone?
Yeah, you would know about
famous
him.
One. He's an American guy. He would be too idiotic to know that.
I don't care which Boone you want to bring to the ring tomorrow night. I'll be waiting there in the middle of that ring to beat your ass.
Oh, is that what you're going to do?
Wow.
Magnificent Mike, I'm sorry if we can't say that word on air. If you need to bleep it, you need to bleep it. But I'll be waiting there, pal.
He doesn't need to say it. He's got Andy here. He's already got one.
Hey. Be nice to Andy.
Be safe.
So you're going to meet me in the middle of the ring? You're going to give me my shot?
That's just what I said, and you need more than one shot. You look like
All right, next tomorrow night.
So there it is, folks. Tomorrow night, Universal Championship Wrestling. Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7 p.m. Palmetto, Florida. The Hall, El Sombrero's Restaurant, 301, right off of 75. You can get your tickets right now, and they're going fast. Believe me, at UCWverse.com. I can't really speak for how this match is going to go. Personally, I don't care because I don't like either of them. And I'm probably just going to spend most of my night making fun of Andy because that just seems to be what I do these days.
Well, you can't say your name right.
But again, what? I don't care about you. Palmetto, Florida, Universal Championship Wrestling. 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Tickets on sale. UCWverse.com.
Thank you, gentlemen, for coming down and adding something that's never happened here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And we had a little Adam Sandler and Waterboy rendition and a little English flavor. And I appreciate it, guys. I look forward to I'll come with the sheriff some night and
come on.
Why are you coming with the sheriff? You scared?
Okay, well, you're sure.
Yeah, with my background, yes.
I'm going back to the
I'll make sure you're comped. He's got to pay double.
All right, and I'm taking you to boxing.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime.
Pro boxing over there in Plant City. Look it up. All right, now we're going to calm things down a little bit here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with some wisdom. And these gentlemen did a superb job of taking care of me when I was up in Iowa. They carried the show, and they had a lot of knowledge. They have youth and energy. And they've been very patient. See what happens when I don't have a producer and then people show up and...
You got to get a little bit more organized, man.
I was organized. Wild. It's called guests taking their, you say, time slot at their own choice.
Yeah.
But I love it. We love content, and it's a variety show, and we just got to rock and roll.
That's the world of radio. That's, where we
That's the way the world of radio is, and now he's the big O, Oscar Garner III, and Alex Riva, and of course, we're going to talk a little NBA. I'm gonna throw my two bits in, then I'm gonna let you guys take it from there. Last night I was shocked that your Boston Celtics beat the Bucks, especially in Milwaukee. You're fortunate that Middleton isn't healthy.
Yeah.
I believe that without a shadow of a doubt that you'd be looking at the back-to-back champions.
Yeah.
In the Milwaukee Bucks. I stayed up way too late, hence lost my keys, and you bailed me out. Watching the Memphis Grizzlies, and of course, I'm just a big fan of the Golden State Warriors. I love them coming back. But I'm telling you, if Ja Morant would have been healthy, yeah, that series would be a different story too.
I think we would have seen
Milwaukee. We would have seen Milwaukee and Memphis in the finals. And I'll step away and get your opinion, gentlemen.
I can't even jump. I really want to address that straight up. Alex, how do you? That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's first of all, that was a tough act to follow. I think we need to acknowledge that, Oscar.
Yeah.
That
are we supposed to yell now?
Yeah. I feel like my cadence is incorrect for this program now. But that's a bold statement to say that Memphis Grizzlies, a team just making their I don't know when was the last time they were in the playoffs. It feels like the Zach Randolph.
Yeah, Zach Mike Randolph.
There you go. Michigan State. You got to throw a Michigan State thing in. You're Penn State. You don't want to. Don't throw him in a few bones.
Big Ten. We're all big. You're Iowa. Right?
Big Ten.
Yeah. So I think we have an alliance here.
Big
you know?
Ten family.
I'm with you.
Yes. Okay. I'd much rather see.
Calm down. Yeah. You're hyped up off the wrestling. You want to fight somebody so
yeah,
bad.
Yeah. The adrenaline is high.
No, I got to go to the restroom. I'm out, boys. This is your show for the next 15-20 minutes.
All right. Let's do it. Do you want to go? Series by series right now, what we got
yeah,
right now.
I think that's the best way to do it.
You want to start with the winners, recap that, and then what we think is going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Miami. Miami close. I mean, that was probably the easiest one to see coming.
See, I would push back on that because I think that Philly team with a healthy Embiid.
Yes.
It was an unknown. You put that Embiid out there in game three with that black mask on and... Who knows?
They didn't care who I was. They didn't care who I was before the mask.
Thank you, Bane. They went out there and they beat him by 20. I mean, I think...
That scared me. I'm not going to lie. That terrified me.
And Embiid was not his normal. So, I mean, yeah. I was listening to Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo talk about how you have an orbital bone fracture. It completely messes up your depth perception, your clarity. It fogs you. And he took a couple shots in game four, and you could tell... He was
crying in game five.
Yeah, and game five, yeah, you sent me that photo of him on the bench when they were down by 25-30. And I was like, that is when I thought it became predictable that game six was just not going to be their time to shine.
I thought game five was when, okay, yeah, this is over. I thought closing out game two, I'm like, okay, we're going to go steal one in Philly. I keep saying we. I'm a Jimmy Butler fan. I just want to let everybody know. I'm a Jimmy Butler fan. I've liked him since Minnesota. So I'm rooting for his success. But I thought for sure, after those first two games, they handled them pretty well. All right. I don't care if Embiid comes. I don't care how he comes back. They're going to steal one in Philly. Then they're going to go and they're going to close this out in five. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect them to come out and be so aggressive. Embiid do his thing. And then... I thought Harden turned the clock back for two seconds.
That's honestly the biggest thing we need to address here.
Yes. Harden and
what
and,
happened? I and, mean, James Harden, you trade him mid-season for Ben Simmons in one of the most publicized deals
so much
in recent memory. And you take two essentially dead assets. I mean, Harden had given up on that Brooklyn team.
Yeah, that was over.
And Ben Simmons had more than given up on that. He had literally stopped showing up and had a cell phone at practice in preseason. You know, like... It was the right trade, but it ultimately ended up not really working out for either team.
No.
And like you said, game four, we see Harden, I think he had 31, if my notes are correct, 30 points.
Yeah. Close to a triple-double. It was a pretty solid stat.
And he was hitting threes. I think his prop on that game was over two and a half threes, which you think a James Harden prop of 2.5 threes.
I'll take that. I'll hit
2 years ago. 2 years ago, you're like, that's the easiest bet I've ever seen. So I think... What really changed was he got slow, and he doesn't have the ability to get to the line anymore. He took zero free throws in that game six. He took two shots in the second half. And you know who else took two shots in the second half of a closeout game, a game six, game seven, about a year ago?
Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons.
Woo!
So a little
Thank
bit
you
of
for bringing us around to that. I appreciate that.
Once I saw that stat and I saw the Philly Twitter, which I'm sadly very tuned into being from Pennsylvania.
Of course.
You know, I can't help but feel bad for Joel Embiid. And I've gone very back and
forth. Is he not catching the worst like past 3 years with the Kawhi shot?
The injuries that he can't stay healthy.
Dude, he's catching the worst.
He's had his own issues. I mean, you're going to put a big body out there. It's going to get hurt eventually. But the orbital bone thing, was just that's basketball happening. Just like similar to the jaw injury, it just happens. There's no one you can blame besides besides the game. But I think the biggest thing that you have to feel bad for Joel Embiid. I mean, he didn't win the MVP. which I think was the right move. Yeah. You know, my Philly friends would disagree. I think Jokic went to another level this year. His court vision, his passing, we've never seen from a big man. And, you know, I think Embiid, obviously, elite defender, but he wasn't that same guy in this series, and he didn't get the help. And really, with the biggest thing, the thing that separated Miami from Philadelphia was they had bench production.
Yeah,
they had guys.
That team
like
is deep.
Gabe, Vincent, and Max Strus.
Strus,
Celtics cut.
And Depot's out there playing
all the Depot.
He's producing.
You're bringing an all-star off the
and
bench.
And Kyle Lowry was hurt for half the series.
Kyle Lowry was a shell of himself when he played, and when he didn't play, he was clapping it up, you know, on the sideline. So I think that team, and then you got guys like Bam and Jimmy and Tyler Hero, the sixth man of the
year. Who's commanding double teams, who is opening up lanes for Jimmy to go slash.
Exactly.
Jimmy is producing. People, dude, somebody said, is it Stephen A talking about, once we get our platform together, I'm calling out Stephen A.
I'll gladly defend you on any Stephen A takes.
Jimmy Butler was not a closer. How do you?
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
He's probably the same guy that says LeBron's not a closer.
We got several series we got to hit. I like Miami. I like what they've got going on. I think they're the most complete team in the playoffs right now. Who do you think?
Healthy and well coached.
Of course. I mean, culture wise, they have the full picture there.
Heat culture.
Who do they want to see? Who are they rooting for on Sunday, Game 7?
Well, that's the big question. Tomorrow, we have two Game 7s. I mean, we could have had four, potentially, if the Sixers had come through.
Yeah.
And if the Grizzlies. But I think, like you said, we kind of saw those things coming. But I think tomorrow, it's going to be an absolute war between two of the best teams in the East, two of the best teams in the league. One of them playing without Chris Middleton, the second best player on that team, the guy that was a big part of that championship team a year ago. And now
Celtics without a real interior big man right now.
No, I mean, Daniel Tice is a incredibly underrated acquisition they made because he can give you a lot of minutes and just muck it up and just make things a problem down low. And he'll hit an occasional three. I saw him hit one in game four or whatever. I was like, all right, Dan.
They'll sag off of him. He'll do his thing. Yeah.
I mean, so I think the biggest question is, who do you want to face? Giannis Antetokounmpo, arguably the best player on the planet right now. I would probably argue that he is. I think, you know, Jokic was your MVP, no doubt about it. He had the best stats. He took his team. He was the most valuable player to his team.
Right.
But Giannis Antetokounmpo is unguardable. In this current modern NBA environment where defense is impossible to play, essentially, because you're going to get calls pretty much any time you drive the lane and your guy isn't set.
I think that's the point. I think when I think of who Miami wants to see, I think they'd rather want to see Boston because the way their defense is and the way their depth works, the way they coach, it's better suited to guard that.
Yeah.
It's better suited to guard that. Not saying JT is so super
who
guardable.
Who has taken it to another level. Jason Tatum.
Who went blow for blow with Giannis last night, was nuts to
watch. Last night was the Jason Tatum. Like,
91 points between the two of them.
I'm that dude. Like, last night, like, stop questioning
Stamp
me.
It.
Yeah, I'm a superstar. I'm going to be a fixture. Because, you know, I mean, I remember him coming into that series against Cleveland back when LeBron was still on the Cavs. And I think it was 2018, 2019.
He's only 19.
And people were like, wow, man, Tatum kind of fell apart in this series. It's like, he's 19. You know, he shouldn't be. But now he's got a couple years under his belt. He's got some depth on his team. And I think we've actually seen guys like Marcus Smart start to figure out their role, but that's the problem. Marcus Smart is such a wild card. You're either going to get the Marcus Smart show, and he's going to be that point guard that they've been missing, that guy, that distributor, that lockdown defender, or you're going to get the Marcus Smart that has the ball three times at the end of game five.
We were texting about this. Game five, three straight possessions.
Exactly.
And don't get it to your $100 million guys. Like,
all the credit in the world to Drew Holiday, though, who played magnificent defense and who has kept that team alive. In addition
to
Grayson Allen.
He gives me a headache. I get migraines watching his defense because he mangles them.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. He wasn't even supposed to be on Smart on that block.
Yeah.
Then he gets it. It was a grip block. Yep. So he pulls it out of the air.
Which he claims he meant to do. He meant to grip it. He had the wherewithal to bounce it off of Smart as he's falling out of bounds. And he claimed he had that. And you know what? I kind of believe him with how good he is.
And Smart has one of the best. I would rank him top three in the league. At you're 100% in the wrong on this play, but you're still gonna throw your arms up like like you got violated.
Marcus Smart can do wrong in his own mind. I mean, the man has that mentality. Like, I'm the best player on the floor
100%.
Right now. I am the best player, and I'm going to prove it. And that's either gonna win you a ball game or it's really gonna lose you a ball game.
So who do we have? Who do we have Sunday night?
I think I got the Milwaukee Bucks. I think you gotta ride the best player in the world.
Yeah.
And again, I don't see how you stop him. Now, if Jason Tatum plays another game like he did last night, it's going to be very difficult for that team to lose. But we've seen Giannis put up 40-plus, and they lose. We've seen Luka do it.
We have to acknowledge the obvious. A healthy Chris Middleton, this series is over.
I don't know if it's over, but I think it's likely. I mean,
The
Celtics have put together some really good performances in this series that I was unsure if they were capable of.
They put them together, but like it's from night to night, it's from quarter to quarter, yeah. It's inconsistent.
But you're playing a great team, so you're going to have inconsistent play, and if you're going to be reliant on shooting, then you're going to have night. I mean, look at Miami Heat in Game 3. That's against the Sixers. They went 7 of 30 from beyond the arc.
For the Celtics to win, you got to have Pritchard hitting a couple jumpers. You got to have
Daniel Tice?
No.
Derek White.
Derek White. Derek White's got to get his scores up. He's got to get a couple assists going. And then you need Horford to give you, like, 15? No, he's got to give you...
Well, Horford, another resurgent year. I mean, who could have...
Give you the 30 ball.
Hey, I'm interrupting. Leave him alone, man. He's old. He's old school. The story's unbelievable. Us old guys are on the whole... I'm in his corner.
Who invited you back?
We were just praising him.
See this red
the man's button? Age. Is, I mean, if you want to talk about ageless wonders, let's go over to the West and talk Chris Paul, because that's an inconsistent player right there. He's either going to win them tomorrow.
Does not Chris Paul do this every single time?
The Chris Paul... What is the experience? Is exactly this. It's like whether or not can he give you a perfect shooting night that wins you a game against the Pelicans in a tough series, or give you 14 in the fourth quarter, be that point god that he's hyped up to be, or he's going to be the guy that comes through in Houston that doesn't come through.
There are some days, there's some games, some quarters where Chris Paul is absolutely precision surgically slicing up the defense, and then there's some days where it's like, is his handle okay? What, like, is he good?
Where's
like,
his mind at? Where's his decision making?
Is he even paying attention?
At?
Like,
how it's so Jekyll and Hyde seeing that kind of guy.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, guys. He just seems like it's effortless though to him. Is it me that it just seems like where's your next gear? Do you get that feeling when you're watching Chris Paul? I just get like you said, when he goes and he dissects and he goes in the lane, you know, and the lane, there's no one in the lane, and he's fluid and he's making the decision where he's just going to loft one up or he's going to dump it off.
He's kind of got a Euro pace to him.
He does. You don't see a burst. He doesn't have a separation, but obviously
he
does.
He knows
so
how you're
going to
react.
He knows where to go.
He's the craftiest player in the NBA. He's the smartest player
great
in the NBA.
I put him and Luka in the same kind of the way that, like, Luka is not... He is strong. He does have the ability to get past people. But Luka also has this thing where I'm going to precision get through this pick and roll. I'm going to keep you on this hip. If you do that, I'm going to go here. I'm not going to rush through my progressions here. I know there's three different things I can do from this spot, from this spot, from this spot. And you give me this, I'll do this.
I mean, I think whenever I think of Chris Paul, and you talk about basketball IQ, there's so few people that even come close that can dissect a play, that can run the offense the way he does. And honestly, I think the best Chris Paul story ever is when he checked into that one game and he noticed the guy didn't have his jersey tucked in, and that's a technical foul in the NBA, and he gets free throws for his team.
Classic.
I mean, guys would never think of that in the modern NBA, and that's why he's an old school player. He's an old school point guard, and there just isn't guys like that in the NBA. He is old, but hey, credit to the man for changing his diet.
Man.
He got on the vegetarian, vegan, like plant based stuff. He said it changed his life, and I love when athletes take the time, because I mean, we look at guys like Zion. They don't
care
about that. You know, James Harden.
Look at these guys.
Luka, even. He came into the season overweight, and people were like, what's up with Luka? This guy could be
elite. I've been hearing Luka, that he comes in under overweight, but, like, he's still, like, solid.
I'm just waiting for the Luka, like, best shape of my life off-season Instagram post with a six-pack and a beach and doing, like, the whip, like, you know, the ropes on the, like, just doing everything.
That's never happening.
I will, if it happens, would you not be afraid of that team?
Oh,
absolutely.
Exactly. So, I think that's the one thing that Luka needs to really put. I mean, because he's got the game. He's unstoppable when he has that it factor. He's just making shots and he's running the offense. And that's the problem. I think, you know, we're giving predictions. I just don't think they're gonna have it in Game 7 because they can't.
So you got
win.
Dallas.
No, I got Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
Phoenix,
yeah.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're perched out back on top of Ferg's, our 13th and Central. Of course, it's our 19th hole Clubhouse Studios for On the Tee, and tonight it's going to be the Bolts Watch Party. It's the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Toronto Maple Leafs Game 7. This place will be rocking. Madman Mac will have this place just... you feel like you're at Amelie, actually, about three or four bars up. And then, of course, about 9 o'clock, you'll have the Rays fans coming over, so it'll be a melding of the two... fan bases, and it's going to be crazy. You guys are going across the street to
610 First Pitch,
Rays and Jays, and I'll tell you about those tickets when we get off the air. I think there's going to be like 9,000 strong over there tonight. So
that's generous, I would say.
Yeah, sit where you want. I'm glad I got you the tickets for tonight versus tomorrow, but you guys will have a great time. And of course, we're brought to you by my good friend, and he has done a superb job, Ace High Printing, Rick Herbert. He's the official printer of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and Radio St. Pete. Does all of our business cards. He does our flyers. He does our covers for our radio broadcasts, and that is Ace High Printing. And, of course, Hoovy.tv. Go to the archives, and we've got some exciting things coming down the road. Now we'll continue with these NBA insiders.
So,
all right, we're picking back up. So, yeah.
Phoenix.
It's good to talk Phoenix, Dallas. Game 7 tomorrow.
Yes.
Prediction, go.
This, my heart wants Luka. I really want him. I really want to see him and Curry go head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that matchup really badly. But Devin Booker and the Suns do not get their respect. I don't think they get their love. They didn't get their love in the regular season. Nobody was like,
no,
oh,
that's correct. Yeah.
Where's Devin Booker's MVP? Yeah. Where's Chris Paul's like MVP? Their considerations at the very least. They didn't get that at all. I think these are two teams that haven't had their shine, even though they went to the finals. I'd like to see Dallas, honestly. But
I'd like to see Dallas. Actually, I'd like to see Chris Paul, though, too. I'm fine with either team coming out of this because I still kind of want Chris Paul to get that title for how much he's meant to the league and how much he's put into this team. And remember what Phoenix was before Chris Paul got there. Devin Booker was it.
He was giving you empty calories every week.
Yeah, people were making these Kobe comparisons, but it was like... okay, I mean, he's playing with guys that no one's ever heard of.
Right.
Dario Saric, or not Dario Saric, Dragan Bender was a top pick for that Phoenix Suns team. So I think you got to respect either way. But I mean, who doesn't like watching more Luka?
If both teams bring their best game,
yeah.
Tomorrow night, it's the Suns.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Well, and we haven't seen the best game the Mavs can play outside of American Airlines Arena. They have been atrocious on the road.
Terrible on the road.
It's been blowouts.
Scary.
It's been blowouts. So I don't know what if it changes they need to make going into this game. I mean, you got to hope that Chris Paul doesn't have it because that's been the biggest reason they've been able to win.
Yeah,
you got to have guys like Dorian Finney hit 8 of 12 from 3 in that one game.
Yeah,
you got to have guys like
Spencer Dinwiddie, those guys. Like, they got to come out. Brunson, they've got to be aggressive.
Yeah. You got to find ways to get them the ball. And then you got to hope the guys.
Luka has to guard the pick and roll.
Yeah.
He has to body up and guard the pick and roll. That's literally it. Like, because they're picking on him. Like, mm-hmm. Jason Kidd is like, yeah, they're literally going at him. Like, he's got to figure that out.
Okay, so now you asked me, who do you think the Bucks, Celtics, between those two teams, who do you think the Heat want to see? Who do you think the Warriors want to see? Because I think it's got to be the Mavs due to their inconsistency.
Yeah, Warriors want to see
the
Mavs, 100%.
And now, assuming...
isn't that a further travel, too? Further travel, too.
Let's assume the Mavs... they don't have it, you know. Let's assume we're getting a Suns Warriors prediction. Warriors Western Conference Finals. Do the Suns have? Because I think I'm taking the Suns in that series. Because I don't trust the Golden State has been so.
The Warriors have been playing. They've been playing down. I really feel like they've been playing down, and it's tough. Because I'm a huge Steph Curry fan. I love what he's. So a lot of people don't like it. But what you're supposed to do is come into the game, leave your mark, and win and be dominant. That's what the Warriors have done over the past few years. They get their health back. As soon as they get healthy again, as soon as they get Clay back, look at them, Western Conference Finals.
Absolutely.
That is what you're paid to do.
Yeah.
And I love seeing winners. I love seeing that. But the way that they've been playing down to Memphis,
mm-hmm.
the way that they played down to a hurt Nuggets team.
Yeah.
I think
they let teams hang around.
They let teams hang around.
They don't play great defense. I mean, Clay is not the elite defender he was.
Clay used a 3-and-D crazy
before those ACL tears. Klay was a lockdown defender. You could, and that's what made those Warriors teams so great, was you could switch on everything because you got Klay guarding guys that are bigger than him because he could lock them down.
If anybody Draymond, Klay couldn't do, Draymond could, or Iggy, and Iggy's not that same guy anymore.
And they would run teams off the floor with their shooting, which everybody knows, but their defense is what really set them over the top because you had Draymond, you had Klay. Steph's not even a bad defender. I mean, he's undersized, but he can stay in front of his man. He still can. I mean, but this team now, they're young. You got guys like Kuminga. You got guys like Jordan Poole, who's been an absolute revelation. But how much can you expect? How much can you trust Andrew Wiggins in a playoff series? How much can you trust Jonathan Kuminga?
Two guys who've never, like, Wiggins, who's never been here.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, this is extremely new territory, uncharted lands for him. So I think the Warriors want to see the Suns, but I think if they both give their best game, I think it's the Suns are going to go back, and I think it's going to be Suns Heat.
I mean, when we were on the air a few weeks ago, I made my prediction Suns. I don't love it right now, but I'd still pick them at coming out of the West because I think they have the most – they have the experience from last year. They have the talent with Ayton, Booker, and Chris Paul, and they have bench guys that can give you points. Jay Crowder can give you a spark. Mikal Bridges can give you a spark. They have what you need to win, and they're still pretty healthy right now. I mean, Booker's gotten over that injury. So the question is, Heat, Bucks. I mean, I'd still take anybody out of the East, though. I think now if I can reevaluate my Suns pick, I think they just have more momentum coming from them. They've been battle tested. If you get Chris Middleton back in the Bucks, then you have again another team that we have a rematch of last year that has that playoff experience, that has that championship experience, and they've gotten better. They've gotten good minutes out of guys like Brook Lopez and Grayson Allen is taking a step. I mean, so I think the big,
which is Grayson Allen taking a step. Like, let's not gloss over. Grayson Allen taking a step is hilarious.
As a Duke fan, I have no comment on that. But
I got one question that I want to ask outside of these playoffs before we wrap
up. I'm interrupting. Duke fan? How you went to Penn State?
I mean, I'm a Penn State basketball fan first, but I grew up a Duke fan because J.J. Redick. J.J. That's correct. Yeah. I mean, I have family in North Carolina, but you're not gonna give me any credit for that. Yeah.
Who's your champion?
I was at the Final Four this year. I witnessed the heartbreak live. I had my Duke shirt on. I took the brunt of the force from the Tar Heels fans. They were just spewing vitriol at me on the streets of Bourbon in New Orleans, and it was absolutely fantastic. I wish I could be a part of that, but I have Penn State, and I get to do that in Columbus every year and get my ass.
I wish I would have had you in our family of contributors then. That would have been some great radio.
Oh my gosh.
Going from Bourbon Street.
I don't think anyone is sober on Bourbon Street Saturday.
Not when I've been there.
It was absolute mad. And then to put four Blue Bloods, oh my gosh, it was an incredible experience.
Who is your, no ifs, ands, if, you know, who wants to see who, your champion right now? Who's going to take over Larry O.B.?
I'm going to say the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm going to ride with the Milwaukee Bucks because I think Giannis is the best player in the world, and who's stopping him? But I think this has been the most exciting season we've had in a long time from a playoff standpoint because I don't feel great about that at all. 2 weeks ago on the air, I said the Suns. I still love the Suns. I still think they are great, but Chris Paul has not been the consistent contributor that I thought he could be. I don't know if the Heat could take it to the next level. If you're going to get performances from Gabe Vincent and Max Strus, then who the heck knows? Maybe that's the team to beat. I don't know. What about you?
Miami. I really think it's Miami.
Riding with your guy, Jimmy.
Most complete team and very hungry.
Because you met Jimmy Butler, you're on his bandwagon now?
I got the jersey. Stop.
He's a Jimmy guy. He's also a Steph guy.
Stop. I like players. They can do.
Which
I like
is kind of the league now.
That's the league. Are you kidding me? Yeah, teams.
People like players. Yeah.
Players.
It's Luka. It's Giannis. I mean.
Well, I forget you're 23-year-old. You don't remember the good old days of team camaraderie and tradition and passion, and now it's just every man for himself. Obviously,
you switched. Hey,
look how that worked for the Sixers and the Nets this year. That really worked well. Look how it worked for the L.A. Lakers this year. That really worked well.
Hey, they won a title a couple years ago.
I'm talking 2022.
Okay, we're in the lens of 2022.
Well, the people who are here now have had chemistry. They've had Miami's been there. They've dug in.
True.
The Warriors have been there.
Celtics have been together for
Celtics
years
have
now.
Been there and dug in. Milwaukee has done it.
Really, the only team that's young is the Mavs, who haven't been here, and that's why I think it's easy to fade them because they don't have the playoff. I mean, can you really expect Jalen Brunson to step up at Game 7?
If you really look at who's involved right now, Warriors have had rings. Suns have gone and lost. Miami has gone and lost. Boston's got really close. All these teams have gotten really close or either have had it. So we've got guys who are like, they've got something to really prove here.
They're hungry.
And this is extremely hungry. And there's a power vacuum right now. You don't get to talk about LeBron right now.
No.
So somebody
I wish I could.
Thank God.
Oh. I'm a LeBron fan.
Man.
Cleveland.
I've had enough. I've had just enough of LeBron, and I like to see him have a little humble pie from time to time.
So I'm going to guess you're a Jordan over LeBron.
Is anybody here in
1,000%.
Line? Okay. Is anybody here in line to be the Lakers' next head coach? I hear anybody can sign up these days.
Well, it's not going to be Doc Rivers, apparently.
No, that was a rumor.
Maury said he wants to run it back with Harden. He wants to run it back with Doc.
No.
Yep, $47 million. To Harden coming next year, and now there's rumors maybe a sign and trade try to get Beal in there because that was Embiid's first choice. But I'm
Doc Rivers out of here. So I just even though he gave the Celtics that championship,
yeah, he's
oh my God, I get so tired of
the
him.
Doc Rivers experience.
The Doc Rivers experience is terrible.
Oh my God. All right, gentlemen.
All right,
we're
thanks
wind
for having
this
us.
Up. Oh well, we're gonna have you on often. We're gonna wind this up. This young team has Monday night. They have an appointment with Jesuit for the regional baseball championship. We're going to give them a little connection karma as we have the last couple of weeks.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you coming out, man.
Thanks, Alex. You did a superb job. And as always, Big O, thanks for bringing Alex into our world. Now, Coach Ralph Rogers and the connection karma continues. And we had him on last week, the Hollins Royals and all the fellas have taken their energy in conversations and have progressed. You don't need the headphones. Not with my big mouth, as you guys have discovered. And since they left here last Saturday, on Tuesday they took care of business against Jefferson 3-2. And on Thursday, River Ridge 4-3. And now the pursuit continues, and they have the regional championship Monday night, 7 o'clock. At Jesuit, and Coach, I'm glad to see you're sitting across from me.
Absolutely.
I would have welcomed you regardless of the outcome, but how much fun is this, man?
It's been a hell of a ride.
Unbelievable.
It's fun. I mean, just the excitement these kids at school, the student body, the administration. It's just something that, hasn't been around the school, in a while.
Well, in your 30-some years of coaching, have you had experiences similar to this?
As I was telling the kids, when I was at Boca Ciega, we went to the regionals 4 years in a row, but we never got out of the first round. So Tuesday night, our victory against Jefferson put me one step, continuing in the regional tournament.
So let's go back to Tuesday's game against Jefferson and, nail biters, all of them. 3-2. Give us a little breakdown of how that that game went down.
Very good ball game. Jefferson was a very good ball club. We got on to them at a 2-0 lead, and then in the seventh, they staged a comeback and tied it 2-2. The thing about our ball club is, something like this happening last year, with all the close games that we weren't able to win. This year, they just, it was a learning process last year, and now 1 year later, the close ball games just don't faze them. They don't rattle, they don't break down. They get out of the inning as quickly as they can and keep the ball game close, and then, look for us to be able to punch across the run, which the other night against Jefferson, the funny thing about the Jefferson game was Ryland, our starting pitcher, when we took him out, normally, especially if it's late in the game, I usually bring him completely out of the game. And then we brought in our center fielder, Jacob Green, to come in. And then we put Billy Davies, one of our outfielders, reserve outfielders, out there. We got out of the inning. We didn't score in the bottom of the seventh. Top of the eighth, we held them. And in the bottom of the eighth, Ryland's position, batting order that he was in, I reinstated him in the game. He was going to lead off that inning from the two-hole. And I think it was the second or the third pitch. Fourth pitch. Okay, there you go. Fourth pitch.
See about these young minds. See?
I know. They remember stuff. And then he hit it out, a walk-off home run to win that game.
Now, you know, when I ask what's the greatest memory, I think it might have been just this past week, huh? Walk-off home run? Holy moly. I mean, talk about one for the ages, one that nobody's going to forget that.
Yes. No, no.
Let me ask you about this team. I was thinking about it the other night after I got a text from you. And as you said, these nail biters, these games, you know, this tension filled and excitement. You got a lot of youth on this team.
Yes.
And typically, you know, they say, well, the veterans can get through a situation like that more so than the youth. Doesn't seem to be the case with the Royals.
No.
Doesn't matter if they're ninth graders or seniors. You know, they're all pretty even keeled and not too much emotion down or up, right?
Right. Well, I think a lot of that has to do with so many
leadership.
Of them now. Yeah, well, leadership number one, but so many of them, especially our players that are juniors and seniors, and even ones that are 10th graders now that are in the lineup, they've been on the field since they were 9th graders. And, you know, like I tell people, the first year I was there was the COVID-stricken year. We were 1-9. And then the season was shut down. Last year, we go 13-13, so now they gain another year of experience. And now this year, right now, to this point, they're 21-6-1. So, you know, I've always been a coach that, you know, if a ninth grader can play, if a 10th grader can play, you know, and, you know, hey, he's in a position where an upperclassman is not giving you the same type of performance out on the field, you know, you do an injustice to that ninth grader or 10th grader, because now if he sits 2 years and now he's going to start his junior season, he's already lost out on 2 years of experience. So his junior year, yeah, he's in his third year, but it's his first year of really getting into the flow of high school baseball, yeah, and the competition and what it takes and everything. And they're just so close. They, you know, anybody new that comes into the program the following year, I mean, everybody takes to that person. And, you know, outside of baseball, they're doing things together. They know each other, you know, and it just makes it on the ball field that, you know, hey, everybody is held accountable, and, you know, everybody looks for everybody to do their job out there.
And I think that that kind of attitude is unique today. I think that kind of attitude puts you at 21-6-1, 10-game winning streak, where you're at, taking on Jesuit, is that you guys, you know, have a bond.
Yes.
And believe that everybody said, well, we're in that, you know, me society. Well, I don't think so on your team, and this is a proof that teamwork does work. And I love the story. I mean, and
we love it too.
I like your I'm sure you do. I like your coaching style, though. I mean, with this group, you can insert guys into different positions. You're almost like Kevin Cash across the street,
right
here.
Yes, we're interchangeable.
Yeah, interchangeable, because you've got athletes that can play multiple positions, and that's kind of how they've built with their farm system with the Rays. You know, they take on the Jays tonight, but I'm not worried about that game. I'm worried about Monday at Jesuit. And I've had Coach Menendez on the phone. I never
good
had
guy.
Him.
Great guy.
Yeah, great guy. I texted him, and I did let him know. I said, hey, I'm sorry, man. I said, I love the Jesuit Tigers. I said, but I'm on the Royals bandwagon. And he laughed. I said, it's just a fabulous story. I said, you guys are deep in tradition. You got all these success stories. They're building their own success story right now at Hollins, one for the ages, and you're building a program. So I said, this one, I'm out. And I think I told you, my girlfriend was just bugging the heck out of me. We're going to that game. We're going to Thursday's game. I go, I'm not going to that game. I said, I'm a superstitious guy. I said, a lot of baseball people are superstitious, you know. You don't want to mess with the karma.
Right.
I thought, if I go and they lose, I'm done. I texted that to you, and I'm glad I stayed away, and I'm staying away Monday. And I'd love to drive over to Tampa and watch you guys win. And then I'd really be, I'd be wearing this gear. It's the same color. Jesuit's got the same color as you guys. So this will be the one that I'll be loud and proud. So welcome to the show, gentlemen. We're just talking about what a what a wonderful story this has become for all of you. One that you're never going to forget now. And that walk-off is anybody got that video? I want to put it up on our social.
Somebody
reach out to me.
We have one of my cards. We have it on the parents' chat that they have.
Yeah, I'd like that video, and we'll throw it up on our social media. We're launching a new platform that's going to get a lot of views. That'd be pretty dang cool. That should have made SportsCenter, man.
I know.
Or at least Spectrum, right? Spectrum News 9.
Been a classic.
Oh, yeah. So what do you know about Jesuit? Besides, you know, they're always tough.
Tradition. I mean, they got a very good ball club this year. They've got, you know, two top left-handers. We'll be seeing one of them. I mean, with no doubt, they a good hitting ball club. Just an all-around Jesuit-type, baseball team. I mean, they're pretty much every year they're right in the thick of, you know, it seems, especially in our region, you know, Jesuit is the one you have to go through to be able to get to, you know, the final step. So we have that opportunity.
There.
And
you're there. That's all you can ask for, right?
Exactly.
The opportunity, and you guys did it. Well, let's start.
Yes.
Even though you got here late, we'll start to the left.
Okay.
Now I only have to ask favorite memory from the last two games. And remember, I'm old. See, your name again, position, and your favorite memory for the last couple days.
My name is John Lewis, and I'm a pitcher. And from the last two games, I would say that definitely the walk-off against Jefferson was the best.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you're never going to forget that.
Yeah.
And then you took care of business against River Ridge, and now you've got Jesuit Tigers, who you guys know all about them. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say this, but many times the teams like the Jesuits of the world, from a mental perspective, could be overlooking you, thinking, Hollins. And that's beautiful, because then you go on with a chip on your shoulder and more motivation to want to get that W. Well, I wish you a lot of luck, man, and it's great to see you guys again. I like the shirt, by the way.
Thank you.
You passing him up?
Oh, I thought you already went.
Man, talk about disrespect. Pass the mic. You know, I've heard it drop the mic. All right, name again, young man?
Alex Miller.
All right, Alex, favorite memory? I'm probably going to get the same answer all the way across the board, and deservedly so, from the last two games.
Along with the walk-off and then the dog pile afterwards, I'd have to...
You guys got to be careful in that dog pile. Somebody's going to get hurt.
I'd say that... when was our game? Friday? Or Thursday? Thursday against River Ridge. We started out pretty slow, but then I drew a walk, and then smallest kid on our team hits a home run. And I know that felt good for him, and... That just completely changed the momentum of the game and boosted us. And
it's like Smalls and Sandlot hitting a home run, right?
Yeah.
Smallest guy in the team.
So I know that felt good for him, and all of us went crazy for him. So that was probably my favorite memory last two games.
All right. Pass the mic down here. See how he did that? Pass to the guy to his left. That's how that works. Name?
Dallas Webb.
See, I should remember that. That's an easy name to remember. But, again... favorite memory, obviously, was the walk-off.
Yeah.
Anything else in there?
Not really, just the walk-off.
I bet you guys were just...
Winning's a good memory.
I bet you guys were just stunned. A walk-off homer.
I wasn't stunned. I was expecting it.
Were you really?
I would have been upset if it didn't happen.
You made the call. You're like Babe Ruth in 2022?
Yeah.
Making the call? Now, well, if we were on the radio, I'd tell you that. Well, you got big kahunas with that. Yeah, very, very much so. You know, one thing that I think is pretty cool, because after the walk-off and the joy and the energy that you guys expended, it's real easy to be tough to get up for the next game on Thursday. And when you came back, you know, back 4-3 over River Ridge, that might have been even bigger of success, knowing that the next step was to get to the regional championship, because, you know, a lot of times the emotion gets lost on an incredible event that took place, but you got to focus, and I applaud you young guys for doing that too. So that had been very cool. All right, shades. Well, future's so bright, you got to wear shades. You don't need two mics, I don't think, unless you, like, you're at a big time press conference and there's like five or six media outlets want to talk to you. After you guys beat Jesuit, that'll happen. Spectrum will be there, Fox, ESPN, all the local guys. Remember, Sports Connection started with you guys.
Yes, sir.
All right, just kidding you. All right, besides, of course, the walk-off, what's your favorite memory?
I'd probably say Thursday. I was the starting pitcher through the complete game.
I did hear that.
Yeah.
Did you hear what he just said? Complete game. I thought that didn't exist in baseball anymore. Complete game.
Yeah, I mean,
very impressive.
I can say it's maybe selfish because I am choosing my own game, but just everything.
It's not selfish, it's a fact.
Everything that I've gone through, though, I came into the season slated to be one of the starting pitchers, and then I go out with an injury, can't throw for a few weeks, and then I come back, and I'm not what I used to be. I wasn't pitching as good, and then kind of just came full circle. I came in to relieve for John down there during a district game through six innings in that 10-inning extra inning thriller that we walked off versus Seminole. And then through versus River
Ridge. I forgot that was a walk-off against Seminole, too. You guys, this has been storybook, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Complete game. Now, that's impressive. Comeback kid. You know, they have these awards for the resilient and the comeback. And you're probably right there in the top three in coach's mind for comeback player of the year. Very, very impressive. And where's your shades at, Ferris Bueller? Okay, all right. Don't lose that look. Your favorite memory, of course, the walk-off, but what else we got?
For sure the River Ridge game, because when the other team was up 3-0, they were celebrating like they had already won the game after they scored three runs, and then we ended up winning 4-3. That had to be the best.
River Ridge was acting like, you know.
Yes.
This Holland's Royals team is a fluke, and we got this. That's even, I like that. When you see your opponent get cocky and you just keep grinding and grinding and grinding, coach keeps telling you, keep grinding, fellas, we'll be all right. And result, 4-3 victory, and playing Monday night at 7 o'clock at Jesuit. Couldn't get any better than this, boys. Couldn't get any better than this. All right, let's get the old man back over here to wrap it up. And like I said,
you stay there down a second.
I would love to be at your games, but I'm really old school when it comes to baseball, and there's superstition. I wasn't at any of the success early, and I thought, if I come to this game and they lose, they're never going to talk to me. So that's why you didn't see my old carcass there. But I'll be at the celebration events, I can assure you. We'll throw them down here.
That's
so,
like
7 o'clock. First pitch. After you beat Jesuit, what's the next step?
Well, the next step would be state. So it's a quick turnaround. So
get the buses loaded up, start making the banners, get the caravan rolling. The winner
of that game Monday night will more than likely turn around on Wednesday and head to Fort Myers because the state starts on Thursday.
And you play at Twins facility?
Yes.
All right, I'm thinking optimism. Positive, right? All right, guys. Well, This has been a blast to be a part of, and I'm glad you came down, and I'm glad Coach pushed to come down today. I had plenty of time. I can always make time for stories like this. And did anybody go to prom?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And everybody was good, I can tell. You're still here.
Still here.
Yeah. That's a good thing. Prom's great, but there's nothing like this is going to happen in your lifetime. I can assure you that. So, you know, if you curtailed any activities at prom, well worth it. I used to preach to a lot of boys and my own sons. You know, you got state. Prom is just a nice little, you can take her on a super date down the road. But anyway, congratulations again. Looking forward to the post-victory conversations, and we'll have them down here. And
sounds like a plan.
Go get them, Royals.
Thank you. Thank
all right,
you
guys.
For us.
Oh, yeah.
Thank
yeah.
You.
We got to keep the karma going, my man. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. And I tell you what, Coach, a lot of people said, well, how did you get on this Holland's bandwagon? I said, it's a unique story. Jackie, right?
Right.
My girlfriend's friend, esthetician with, they used to work together at
Tradewinds. Me.
Is that you?
Yes, that's me.
I finally get to meet you.
That was me.
I'm giving you your love. Yeah, and so all along, now my girlfriend's off, she's on it. She said, and she reads texts from you or your Facebook or something. She's like, Holland's one, you know. And I go, I do this for a living. I know Holland's. And I didn't know the other night, and I told her I did. Of course I know the score already, but I didn't know Thursday night's score, and you'd posted on Facebook. And I thank you very much, Jackie. You parents got to be having an absolute blast, too. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this for the
parents. Great parents, best parents, great supporters.
And as you said, the school?
The school is...
How big is Hollins? How big is Hollins?
Well, it's a Class 5A, so... About 1,800 students.
Yeah, well, I remember when my boys were rolling, and the best times of my life. It's part of your social fabric. Fabric. I mean, you start socializing with the parents, and you go out to eat afterwards or before, and that's just what it's all about. And it's great, and to have the teamwork and the team chemistry you guys have, and the family and the school support. That's why you've been doing this for 30-some.
Yes.
All right, my man. Appreciate it. Good
thank
luck.
You.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're very welcome.
And thanks for subbing for my my girl when we were in Iowa, so I could show her God's country. All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun today. Quite a variety show. We had a little wrestling, pro wrestling. That was interesting. I didn't see that coming. We talked a little. We talked a little rowdies with Buster DeLay. We talked a little high school. Track with, yeah, help yourself to t-shirts. Anybody over there, take some Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, moms, dads, anybody. But come on down and see me at Ferg's any Saturday, and we'll give you a free t-shirt, by the way, if you're out there listening. Tonight down here at Ferg's, don't forget, it is the game number 7. It's the Bolts and the Maple Leaves, 7:30 puck drop, and the watch party will be crazy down here. At take them all, coach, in case some guys couldn't show up. Any t-shirts I got, just take them. And if anybody want branded them, it's the Hollins gang. And back to that evening here at 6:10, you've got a first pitch, Rays and Jays at Tropicana Field right across the street. And then as I said, get here early because it will be a madhouse tonight. Game 7, and then Rays and Jays last night, nice victory, 5-3 Rays over Toronto. They're on a 6-game win streak. And, in fact, they 3.5 games out of first. The Yankees are pounding the ball right now, unbelievably. And then what else did we do in this show? Had so much happened. Oh, I tell you, that was a great story. Justin Motlow, the first member of the Seminole tribe that made the Florida State Seminoles a walk-on. And I love stories like that. Now successful businessman with his father. Did you? Gotcha. I'll be off in just 1 minute. You want to say goodbye to your loving audience out there?
Yeah, I just want to say hi to my mom. She helped me get here. No. Thank you. This is a packed show. This is a lot of fun. This is one of our best weekends so far. I mean, well, my best weekend so far, but yeah, thanks to everybody who came out, man. It was beautiful.
Well,
shout out to Rick Waldman, of course, and First Tee, of course, helping them get in here. We're gonna try to get something together, get some clubs down there, honestly.
Oh well, I'm giving mine because I'm going to get graphite shafts, so I'm gonna give my Titleist, and I got some others that we're gonna
get.
Okay,
big ball.
You be safe tonight. Have a great time at the game. I'll talk to you in a little bit about your tickets and how to handle that and get the best seats in the house, man. So for Justin Motlow. The Hollins baseball team that are on their way to regional championship against Jesuit on Monday night. And Coach Ralph Rogers, Gibbs Track, Robert Clark, Buster DeLay, Andy DeLay, magnificent Johnny Walker and his wrestling gang, Alex Riva, and of course, the big O, nice NBA segment as the playoffs continue.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.